Now follow along in your copies of God's Word as I begin reading in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, all the way through verse 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This ends the reading of God's Word. And again, may His Spirit bless it so that we will be more than merely hearers, but we will know how we are to live on the basis of the Word of God. For me, Easter morning is an exciting day, not because of any outlandish tradition that we hold to. We have our fun traditions as well, but that's not why it's an exciting day for me. It's an exciting day because I know what it means for my eternity. Because of Easter morning, because of what happened on that first Easter morning, I know that my grandparents are in the presence of God today. Because of Easter morning, I know that those sweet saints in our congregation that have passed away are with our Lord today. I know because the Scriptures convince us of that. This is an exciting day. However, if you were able to have been there with Peter, James, and John on this day, you would have noticed that it didn't start out as a very exciting day. It was a day filled still with gloom, despair, confusion. However, in the midst of the sadness, we read about a couple faithful followers, a couple ladies who went to the tomb to perform one last faithful service to Jesus. They weren't able to prepare his body for the tomb because of the Sabbath, so they had to wait. So they were going for one faithful visit to care for the body of their friend. They were concerned on the way there. They asked each other, "What are we going to do about the stone?" They didn't know what they were going to do, how they were going to be able to move that huge stone that had covered the mouth of the tomb, and they were concerned. But they went. And they saw that day something that they'd never expected to see. The stone was rolled away. But what did that mean? Again, imagine if you're one of those ladies approaching the tomb and you see the guards sprawled out on the ground like dead men and the stone rolled aside. What did it mean? What does it mean? You see, there's a powerful message in the stone being rolled away. The stone is one of the critical pieces of evidence that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ is alive, that He truly did rise from the dead. Now, there's many different aspects to this event that we could look at this morning. We could look at the response of the soldiers, what they did after they experienced this, and they went back to tell their Jewish leaders about what they saw, what happened. We could focus on these ladies and look at what they did. We could focus on the disciples, on Peter and James, or Peter and John, as they ran back to the tomb to investigate it for themselves. We could take time and look at the various appearances of Christ. There's so many different parts of this event that we could look at that would teach us a lot about the resurrection. But today, I think there are very valuable lessons that we can learn by looking at the stone. And that fact that it was rolled away. We'll look at what the stone represented itself by itself and the tremendous hope that we have because it was rolled away. But first, let's look at what that stone symbolized. The stone that was rolled away proves that death comes to everyone. Every year around this time, you're sure to hear the old saying, the only things that are certain in life are death and taxes. Well, the last thing I want to preach about today is taxes. You don't want to hear about taxes. But some of you might not want to hear about death either. Maybe some of you might rather hear about taxes than death. But the reality is, death does indeed come to everyone. The gravestone is still a symbol of death. Like it or not, death does indeed come to all of us. It came to Jesus, and one day it will come to us, like it or not. The Bible says a man is destined to die once, and after that, the judgment. Death is inescapable. It comes to everyone. And no doubt you've also heard that death is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated or never had any formal education at all. Death comes to everyone. It is the great equalizer. We live every day knowing that either we or someone close to us is about to die. It is a harsh reality of living in a fallen world. And because of this reality, man has always searched for ways to conquer death, to defeat it. On the cross, Christ was executed. And yet, he beat death. I mean, people are always trying to escape it. I mean, some hold to various wild forms of religion, hoping that somehow they can come to that point and have some hope about what's beyond. Some even will believe in reincarnation, that they don't want to face the reality of death, so they'd rather think that it can come back as a caterpillar or something. Death comes to everyone. The gravestone is far too big to ignore. It's a difficult reality that we need an answer for. An answer that goes beyond our normal human wisdom. And that's where we meet Christ. The stone in front of his tomb confirmed that Jesus died a real death. On the cross, he was indeed executed, murdered. But he gave his life willingly for us. He gave his life as a substitute for sinners like us. The Bible says that because of his great love, he went to the cross to save people that don't deserve it. In fact, it says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still his enemies. The stone speaks about death, the reality of death, that Christ died, and that we also must face death. But the stone not only declares that Christ experienced death, but secondly, the stone also declares that Christ conquered death, that death could not hold him. We read that the stone covering the mouth of the tomb was rolled away. So if the gravestone is a symbol of death and the bondage of death, the fact that it was rolled away is a symbol of the freedom that Christ can give. The stone proves that Jesus conquered death. If you're familiar with the story of the apostles and what happened to them in the midst of all this, then you may remember just a few weeks after all these events, we find them hiding in an upper room in Jerusalem for fear of the Jews, and the Holy Spirit came upon them with such great power that Peter exited that upper room and began preaching publicly, and thousands of people gathered to hear what was happening because of the disturbance of the Holy Spirit coming upon this house. And Peter publicly proclaimed that those same people that were gathered to hear him preach were the ones that were responsible for murdering Jesus. Can you imagine the boldness to stand in front of the very same people and accuse them of murder? And not just the murder of a guilty man, but the murder of the Son of God. A man who was not worthy to be put to death. And yet he calls them murderers, and he says that God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. The stone being rolled away is proof that Jesus conquered death. It was impossible for death to hold him. Now, it's also important to note that the stone was not rolled away so that Jesus could come out of the tomb. After this morning, Jesus appeared several times, many times, to his disciples. At one time, he appeared to hundreds of people at the same time in the same place. But on one occasion, the disciples were afraid and locked in a room. All the windows and doors were sealed. And Jesus walked right in. They didn't pick the lock. He walked right through the door. You see, in Jesus' resurrected body, he could pass right through walls, right through the stone walls of that tomb. He didn't need to have the stone rolled away. So why then was it rolled away? Not so he could get out, but so that we could look in. Yeah, I imagine, though it doesn't tell us plainly, but I imagine that those guards, once they woke up from their being scared to death, once they woke up, I think they probably peered into that tomb. Because when they went back and reported to the Jewish leaders what had happened, they told them that the tomb was empty. But we also, and we know that these ladies that gathered, they looked into the tomb. We also know clearly from the scriptures that Peter and John, when the ladies told them what had happened, they ran to the tomb and they looked inside and they went inside and saw that it was empty. And if I was a betting man, I would be willing to wager that some of those Jewish leaders, they made their way back to the tomb to investigate it for themselves. The stone being rolled away was not for Jesus to get out, but for people to look in as evidence, as proof that he is not dead, that he is alive. The empty tomb is one of the greatest pieces of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is indisputable evidence. The empty tomb proves that Jesus is not dead, that death could not hold him, that he is alive. I mean, just think, when Peter is preaching in Jerusalem, as I just mentioned a moment ago, and he's preaching that he has arisen from the dead, and the crowds are being stirred up, and there are thousands of them on that day believing in Christ, all the religious leaders had to do was say, no, he's not. Come look at his tomb. He's still there, but he's not. They couldn't prove that Peter was a liar because the tomb is empty. The stone was rolled away. And everybody could see it. He is alive. Now, all the religious leaders of history have lived and died. And if their tombs have been discovered, you can go to those tombs and see that they're still dead. They're still dead. They've never been arisen from the grave. Only Jesus conquered death. The message that the apostles proclaimed from that day forward was that Christ lived and died, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. But ever since then, skeptics have tried to deny it, tried to explain it away. But the tomb is empty. And Jesus is alive. If he did not rise from the dead, your faith is worthless. This scripture is worthless. But he is alive. There would be no power for living now, and we would have zero hope for our future. But on that first Easter morning, Christ arose and conquered death. Now, most of you have probably heard this story before, and you know the significance of what I've said so far. But I want us to see one more lesson from the stone this morning before we end. The stone teaches us that death comes to everyone, that it is a certainty. It also shows us that Christ conquered death. But thirdly, the stone was rolled away to prove that we have hope for our future. That we have hope. Even though death sometimes is a mystery to us, and it certainly can be, why death comes to some and not to others, why some are spared and others are not, it is a mystery to us. But it's not a mystery to God. It can be a mystery to us because we are still ruled by time. All we can really see is birth and life and death, but that's not all that God sees. God sees birth and life and death and the life beyond. He is not governed by time or ruled by time as we are. But it's difficult for us. The resurrection of Christ means that there is hope. That there is a genuine, certain hope for what we cannot see yet. The resurrection means that there is life beyond death. That death is merely a doorway into eternity. The problem that we face, which direction do we go after we pass through that doorway? Death is merely a doorway, whether you are a believer in Jesus Christ or not. It is a doorway into eternity. The question is that we must answer in our own hearts today is, which direction after death, after we pass through that doorway, where are we going? Do we have a hope? Or are we facing the condemnation that we justly deserve? The stone being rolled away shows us that there is reason, good reason, to have hope about your future and the future of your loved ones. We've already seen that God has demonstrated His love for us by sending His Son to die for us while we were still His enemies. Well, in a verse, just a couple after that, Paul says this about the life or the resurrection of Jesus. He says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him, to Christ, to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life," or through His resurrection? We have hope because Jesus actually is who He said that He was. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who came to take away our sin, to wash us as white as snow. He is the one that can reconcile you with God the Father. We have hope because His death on the cross was the just and final payment for our sin. And because of that death, we can receive the forgiveness of God. The gospel is true. Christ is the Savior. There is an opportunity to be forgiven. No matter what you have done in this life, no matter how far you have strayed, most of you have probably were in the church as children. But maybe some of you have felt yourself, you've been straying away. And you're here today, it's Easter. That's what you should do. Go to church. Please be reminded that the stone being rolled away is proof that you can be forgiven. That you can be cleansed of all your sin. Because Jesus is who He claimed to be. And the stone has proved it. Death could not hold Him. He conquered death so that we could have hope. Eternal hope. There is eternal life. The resurrection of Christ proves that indisputable fact, and it proves that He is Lord. And so as Lord, He calls us today. He challenges us today, not from the cross because He's not there. He challenges us, but not from the grave because he's not there either. He challenges us from the right hand of the throne of God. He calls to us as the resurrected Lord, saying, look at what I have done. Now come and follow me. The Apostle Paul wrote one of his letters to a church in Philippi. He says that Christ emptied himself of his glory when he became a man. He didn't cease being God, but he emptied himself of his glory and took on the form of man, became a man. And not just a man, but a servant. And not just a servant, but he was willing to be mocked and ridiculed, spit upon, beaten, tortured, and hung on a cross so that his people could be saved. And it says that God exalted him to the place above every name, that at the name of Christ we can be saved. And that there will come a day when every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And Christ is calling to us from the throne of God, come and follow me. Come and live for me. And therefore, the resurrection of Christ is a call to a full and unconditional commitment to him, to live for him. Just look at your life considering what Jesus has done for you. Just consider your own life. Examine what has happened in your life and how does Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection impact your life? What does it mean that God loved you so much that no suffering was too great for him to endure so that you could have eternal life? Death and resurrection of Christ proves that God loves you so much that he was willing to give himself up so that you don't have to suffer condemnation and an eternal hell, but Christ suffered it for you. So what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do in response to such love? Will you pursue your relationship with Christ and put everything else behind it, behind your service to him? Or will we just continue to play around and seek our own comfort and pleasure? Seek our own security in this life and hope that we can pass it on to our children? Wouldn't it be better to pass eternal life on to your children than a healthy 401k? Wouldn't it be better to live your life for Christ now? To demonstrate to your children and your grandchildren what life is really about? That they may see the eternal rewards? The stone speaks. Easter is not just about flowers and candy and new clothes and a big lunch. All those things are fine and good. But the stone speaks. The stone speaks about death. Death is coming, like it or not. But the stone also tells us that there is life because Christ has been victorious over death. And the stone tells us that life is filled with hope in the future through Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away so that we could meet the risen Lord. What are you willing to do for him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a blessing to know that we have life in Christ. Because he conquered death, we can live. Father, maybe there are a few here or others listening online at a future time, that recognize that they need this life. That they've been struggling with their acceptance before you. They feel convicted about their sin. They're uncertain about their future. Lord, I pray that the truth about the resurrection would sink into their minds because You have made their heart come to life. That through the resurrected Lord, they would put their faith in You. That they would believe in You who sent Your Son. And as a result, they would have eternal life. That they would not be condemned because they've already crossed over from death to life. And Father, for those of us that have that assurance and yet still struggle every day with sin, we pray that every day we would recognize that Christ is alive. That our faith is not in vain. That You have granted us His righteousness so that we may live and live life to the full. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.